Hi, this is Erik Karlsson, and you're listening to the Sense Call-Ups.
Should I hang my head low? Should I bite my tongue? Or should I march with every stranger from Twitter to get shit done? Used to hang my head low, now I hear it loud. Every stranger from Twitter is gonna
from studio, from upstairs spare bedroom at Pan's House in the west end of the nation's capital, welcome to Season 7, Episode 2 of the Sens Call-Ups for Thursday, the 4th of October, 2018. I'm Cardinal. Canuck and Pan are here as well. The season started tonight, and leading up to it has been a mixture of anger, despair, hope, excitement, not necessarily in that order, and not necessarily all equally felt. However, we're back. The season started tonight, and for a change, I'm actually here, unlike the last episode. Boys, Canuck, you're a little under the weather, I think.
Yeah, you were unhealthy last time. I'm unhealthy tonight.
So it's going around the table counterclockwise.
Oh, no!
It's doing the NASCAR thing, which means, yeah, you're next. That'll be fun.
You better not come by the time we're going to Vegas.
Now, when's that?
Vegas born. 24th through 30th.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. That's just okay. Coming up near. It's not too far. Got to get through Thanksgiving first, but that's all right. What's been going on since? I haven't seen you guys in actually 3 months since I missed the last episode when you guys recorded. So the last time I was out here was the 4th of July. So how was your, I know you did talk about this, I think, on the last episode. Wow.
I don't remember summer now.
So, yeah. Really?
I told you to listen to the episodes.
I
need the downloads, man.
I played the episode. It's whether I actually listened to the episode.
Starts the episode. Oh, Cardinal's not in this one. I'm not listening.
I did play it. However, it seems that I was probably more engaged with whatever else I was doing at the time. So I didn't really hear it all that well.
Yeah, no. I haven't really done much. Went to Boston in July, I think it was. Got stopped at the border because someone with my name. Did I mention that on the
last one? You didn't.
What?
So on the way back in, I also
someone else has the name
back.
Pan?
Yeah. So someone with my name.
First name Peter.
Yeah. So same birth year, same birthday, different birth month.
That's trippy.
So because I came back on this, I went down on the Friday, came back on the Sunday or the Monday. I'm coming back in and I'm just like, coming into the building. It's like, all right.
So this was Canadian customs.
Canadian
customs.
I always have issues with Canadian customs.
Oh, okay.
For whatever reason. And so I was like, you know why we stopped you? I'm like, well, I'm not saying this, but I'm like, I'm with a brown guy, so I just figured it was him. It's like, all right, show me your neck. I was like, okay. So I just bring my shirt down a bit. He's like, okay, no, like lift your shirt and like really show me the back, like your back and everything. He's like, okay, all right, you don't have any tattoos. There's another guy with your name out in BC that has a warrant out for his arrest. I'm like, is this going to be an issue moving forward? Papa?
Wow.
He's like, oh no, well, maybe until we catch him. I'm like,
how do I find this out? In advance, preferably.
So a couple of questions. So one, it's because I have a common name. You're going to stop everyone with the same name? Oh, wait, yeah, they do. So two, I don't know when this is going to get rectified. There's no way that they can note mine saying, no, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Three,
the person
not
with
even
this
a
name
match.
Is not the person who's this name. Wait, what? That'll go well.
So
did they take a picture and you did like pan face?
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah, your mug shots, like, please stop doing that. 18th try.
Stop doing that.
Well, that's an adventure.
So that was my biggest adventure, is waiting an extra 30 minutes.
Wow. Well, my summer.
So I hope our layover going into Vegas and back is pretty decent, because who knows what's going to happen.
Where are you laying over through? Toronto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. my summer, I actually got a summer vacation for real. Actual time off in the summer. That's for the amazing. First time in 5 years.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. I spent 10 days up at the lake. I turned my phone off the day I went in, and I turned it on the day I went out.
How do you order pizza?
I say, hey, anybody want a pizza? And then we turn the barbecue on and we make one. It's great.
Sounds like my personal hell.
It was wonderful. The fishing was actually terrible, except for my very last day, where we caught 3 in 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
The fish just started to bite that day, but the rest of the time up there was absolutely brilliant. I had a couple of other times up there, and I was actually at the cottage last weekend, where I got got damaged by a snowmobile. I pull started it, and the engine started halfway through the second pull, which I wasn't expecting, so I was...
It was like 40 degrees.
On the weekend, it wasn't warm.
No?
Oh. No, it wasn't warm.
Was it snowing?
No.
What do you think this is, Calgary?
I was starting it so I could move it, because I was cutting the grass. I also had the start.
Why would you cut the grass with a snowmobile?
Around the... Like, near where the snowmobile was. I was moving it out of the way.
Well, then if you're cutting around it, what do you need to move it?
Can you turn this off for a second?
Now you know what it's like when you nitpick words. 7 years. 7 years.
I was cutting the grass around where it was sitting. And
yeah,
I can't
so why do you need to move it?
Because
just go around it.
I can't get the lawnmower close enough to get all of it. I like to be tidy.
This is why your shows are long.
I don't do a half-assed job. Anyway, it started halfway through the second pull. And it managed to pull my fingers back a good 45 degrees past where they normally live on my hand. Yeah, so I didn't break anything, but there was...
Everything got pulled. Eh?
Yeah, the swelling's gone down a little bit, which is nice.
Ouch.
But I still have no strength in that hand. But it was a great weekend. I cut up a tree and put that in the wood pile for next winter. It won't be any good this winter, but it was nice hardwood. Good time. But the fun thing about when I was fishing during the summer, quick one, we could not get the propane fridge lit. We tried and tried and tried. We probably spent about 4 hours trying to get the bloody thing lit. Mm. And it just wouldn't go. So we had to go into town.
Well, you have to wait till like late October for that.
No, you just have to have ice every 48 hours for your coolers.
No one? No.
What?
Did you get it?
There was a joke there?
Yeah.
You have to wait till
late
October? You
couldn't get the fridge lit.
I couldn't get the fridge lit.
Marijuana becomes legal in Canada in late October.
Oh.
Okay, lit for me is someone getting smashed, not someone getting stoned, but all right. And which will happen in a minute or two for the two of you, so stand by.
Yay!
Anyway,
7.5!
I won't even bother with that story. I will bother with this one. It was my birthday recently.
Mm.
Ditto.
And I was given a present, which I thought might be fun to share, which you guys don't know. You're looking at the box, and the box is not indicative of what it is. It's moonshine. So this will fix what's wrong with
you. You're going to kill me.
Perfect. 100%?
100 proof, yeah.
100 proof.
100 proof moonshine.
Oh my, just a bit, please.
And you haven't had this yet. That was
Nope. Well, I've had a different one.
Okay. Wow. What's that? Reunion?
Yep. It's actually from Perth. I'll just give you a very small one, because I'm sure that's all you'll want.
It's what she said.
I warn you, it is strong. You might want to give it a little...
Yeah, it's 100...
It's 100 proof.
Reunion Moonshine, 100 proof.
Yeah.
It's so clear.
Yeah. Now, there is another one out, which has maple syrup mixed in.
Oh, my goodness.
You might find it a little easier if you blow into the glass first. Cheers. <What? laughs>
just spit on it.
Cheers, lads. Here's to season 7.
All right.
Let's try this out. I have not tried this yet.
Smooth.
It's actually very smooth and a bit bland. Oh dear, I think we've lost him. I'm with you, Canuck. I actually find it smooth, but
this is not. It's not as bad as other alcohol.
And well, you shot the whole bloody thing. What are you, nuts?
No, there's something in there.
It is smooth. It's not very flavorful. It's got a bit of a papery flavor, like old paper. That's not bad at all. So reunion
tastes like burning.
Reunion Moonshine. It's actually made in Perth, and you can buy it at the LCBO.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whew.
I've had an interesting week.
I'm just going to have one beer tonight.
Oh my gosh. This king size can of Labatt 50.
It's two cans in one. It's a 740.
That stuff's garbage.
I disagree.
That's how you get beer at a dollar.
If I could get...
a two-buck beer.
I was going to say, if I could get one of these for a buck, I'd be buying them by the truckload. Oh,
it's like the Colt 45s. I just remember that from high school.
Oh, there we go. This was a present, too.
Yeah. So how's your weekend up?
Well, I had a birthday over the weekend as well. Mm. For fun, went to go see School of Rock, the musical. That was fun. It's Stick It to the Man shirt.
Stick it!
Yeah, stick it. That commercial. Yeah. It was a GoDaddy commercial, right?
It might have been. I can't remember.
But the more... Well, just...
I'll look that up.
Other than coming down with a cold the other day.
Yeah.
The more fun is... when I was... I think it was grade 9 or 10, that range. I fell on the ice playing hockey and bent my front tooth back.
Oof.
Ooh. And I wore a wire for a little while behind there, just and it was taken off as an adult. Anyway, long story short, I found out that you know, anytime you have trauma to a tooth like that, your body actually kind of eats down at your root. It shortens your root. And I was actually lucky that it didn't stop. Sometimes they just keep going and you lose the tooth. But so I've had a shorter root on my very front tooth for a long time. And long story short, I start having some discomfort, and I'm halfway through root canal treatment. So,
oh, there's a
good to try one. To save it.
Oh, okay.
So it's been fun.
No corn in the cob for you.
It's surprising. You know, when I heard root canal when I was younger, it's a massive, painful thing, and now it's quite routine.
I think they've probably changed the methodology.
I'm sure they have. It's pretty crazy, but I'm still not out of the woods though, because I'm not sure if it can be saved or not. But
I'm
pop it out, builds character.
Yeah, be like borrow.
Now I've got four. I still have my wisdom teeth, but not for much longer.
Oh, yes,
I have one that's cracked, which is not much fun.
Right.
So I have
to take it out, right?
Well, they're going to take that one out, but if they're taking one, taking them all.
Right.
I'm just going to get rid of all of them.
I might not have mentioned this because I got mine out at maybe 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This is how friggin' lame I am. Because they had to put me under.
Yeah, they tend to do that here.
I know.
No, sometimes it's local.
Okay.
Mine,
I had local.
I'll be high as a kite, but I won't be technically asleep.
Right. That's what.
Right. So, like, I was just out, right? And when I came to, because I was so hammered, and I'm continuously talked to my dad about how I had to go out and immediately buy real estate because it would be a revocable contract because I'm under the influence of drugs.
Yeah.
That's how interesting I get when I'm high.
You need to work on that.
We'll see in late October, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. Well,
and the sense season is going to be pretty long.
Well, that'll make it better for
you. You got to work that into a pickup line. I don't know how. Well, I'm under the influence of you, baby, so let's go out and buy some.
Did you like that text? It's like the senator's methodology around signing free agents is the same play as me with the women.
Which is
it's what? Like, oh, never mind. They won't be interested in playing here.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Too small market.
Okay, now I get where you're going. Well, now the people have been bored to tears because we're not talking about hockey at all. But then we never do for the first 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh, sorry. I would say condolences to anyone impacted by the tornadoes.
Yes.
Had that? Okay. Yeah.
For those who aren't in the immediate Ottawa area or didn't know, there were a total of 6 tornadoes in the area, 2 of them specifically in the Ottawa area. That devastated just under 2 weeks ago, I guess it was.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago tomorrow. we're not Tornado Alley, so we're not exactly used to this sort of thing. And they touched down. Yeah. One touched down in sort of the very northwest corner of the city, and another one touched down in the west, just east of where we are.
Yeah.
Not far.
I didn't realize how close it was.
Yeah, Arlington Woods. Well, it's closer to my parents than even to you. Mm. Because we're not used to them, it was a kind of a freaky thing because the damage is so devastating but so localized. You know, like 500 meters away, there's nothing. But where the damage is, it's really bad. And they both touched down and then took off and touched down again. So the one in Dunrobin took off over the river and landed a little bit in Aylmer and then in Montbleu area of Hull.
That's crazy.
And the one in Arlington Woods. In a way,
good thing it did that, right?
Yeah. Well, if it had just torn a path like that, it would have been catastrophic. And the one that touched down in Arlington Woods and Craig Henry then took off and then landed again in Greenboro.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
Was just all over.
My daughter's high school is right next to, well, is in that area.
Oh, okay.
Dunrobin. So it got shut down for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And as they're using it for,
as a shelter.
As a shelter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When I drove out there earlier this week, like, you see the pictures and they're crazy. When you drive through there in person, goodness.
Yeah. It looks like it's any day war Detroit. Zone. Yeah.
Well, it's the same, kind of the same as the ice storm in 98, where, you know, you'd be seeing the pictures of it all.
Yeah, but not
ice
houses ice that have just blown out.
Not blown out, but I collapsed.
Really? With the ice?
Trees falling. Trees falling on them. Okay. Hydro poles falling on them. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Not a whole lot of them, but I mean, just the damage overall was just so widespread. Yeah, I remember
Island Park was a mess.
Alta Vista was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yes, definitely. Thank you. Definitely our thoughts are with everybody, and congratulations to all the fundraising that's gone on. You're wearing a Brian 5 or 6 shirt. He did some really nice work.
Yeah, especially in the fact that his mother lost the house completely.
Yep.
Which seems to have been a 3-generation house from what I read.
Yeah, something like that.
Because I don't think anyone would have bat an eye if he would have just kept these proceeds for himself.
And he didn't. He donated them to...
Donated everything.
Yeah, that he was making. And the Sands Foundation really stepped up, as did the people who were donating to it. Like,
yep.
Good.
Yeah.
That was definitely a feel-good story in the middle of a very bad story.
Exactly.
Very bad story.
So,
quick housekeeping before we start, because there's a little piece of news that we need to pass along to our listeners. Our email address, as always, is podcast@sensecallups.com. The forums are at sensecallups.com, but the waiver wire number has changed.
I hate this rebrand.
Due to alter, just like we don't have.
I'm actually now upset.
We don't have a studio. Well, it didn't take me very long to get you going. Wow. We don't have a studio number. We still have to decide on that one.
69.
Nice.
Yeah. We also decided to change the waiver wire number because we don't have a number 65 on this team now. So
nor should we ever again.
So the waiver wire is now 1-844-728-7367. Or, to make it easy, is 1-844-SCU-SENS.
Suns call ups.
SNES. We should have done SNES. Didn't even think of that.
Vinny, we need to talk again.
I was actually thinking we should have done SCU-Rage, stolen the Rage line from Sens Underground, but that's okay. Vinny, thank you again for what you do for us to have this, because it's a very generous donation to have a toll free number.
1-844 by huge.
Nice. So 1-844-SCU-SENS is the Rage line. Yeah, we'll just call it that. People are going to be angry about a lot of stuff this year. They're going to call and be annoyed. So there you go. It's the Rage line.
Please call.
Call that. Yeah, give us a call. Say hi. Tell us what's on your mind.
I know CB Inc. will.
But we'd like to hear other voices as well. All right. There's a good 20 minutes in the books or on tape. Let's go.
Game on!
Tell you what, Pan, I'll just leave the moonshine for you. We were just miming while the music was playing. I'll leave this for you so you can just, you know, take the cap off the bottle, because it almost looks like a little moonshine jug, and you can just hits of it.
You know when Brian 5 or 6 just chugs back the alcohol?
Yeah.
And it's obviously water? Just sneak that.
Sneak this into it. Well, it looks like water. Have some fun with it. All right. Game one of the season was tonight.
So many recaps.
And we were watching it. So, hey, you want to recap this game?
Hold on, let me bring it up.
Oh, you're going to bring it up?
So I didn't pay any attention in regards to the preseason.
Barely.
Because I've been extremely busy.
We were at that one game that we got invited to.
Yeah, but we didn't focus on that. I didn't watch any of the game.
Right.
We'll talk about that in a bit, because we were all there.
So,
at that preseason game, yeah. Maybe got it? No.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, no, because these websites suck. But Blackhawks at Sens.
Snez.
4-3 overtime loss. This is not working. I'm going to grab my phone. So, Sens goals by Zach Smith.
Oh, he really wavered wire one right past the goalie.
Ooh, good one. Hey, that's
nice. Yeah. Well done.
So, Zach Smith,
Max Lajoie,
who was incredible. Colin White actually gets a point, which was good, or a goal. Oh, that's it for Ottawa.
I was going to say, that's it. It was only three.
And then Sadly. For the Blackhawks, DeBrincat, he's a good player. Taves, Seabrook, and then Patrick Kane in overtime, 3-on-3.
About 10 seconds after I asked, why is the defenseman for Ottawa the only one that's on the ice? Why is he the one that's behind the Chicago net?
Yeah.
And then the puck gets coughed up, and Patrick Kane's on the breakaway and scores. Okay.
Now, when I'm watching this game, I'm not really sure how to feel. Do I want the Sens to win? Do I want them to lose? I don't know how to feel. Am I entertained? Am I disappointed? It's a process right now.
Yeah.
I was entertained.
I somehow got into it again, which I wasn't sure if I would or not.
Not you were a little cold on it in the first period. I mean, you were eating.
Well, no, I was pretty excited, right? Well, because so was Lajoie scored right when I got home, and it was a beautiful goal. Man, that was a beautiful goal.
Well, that's right. That
yeah, because I walked in, like, I've heard every name on the radio because I had to drive back from work. And it's like, I've heard every name except for Duchesne. Duchesne passes up the middle, Lajoie scores. Okay.
We're good to go. That's when you walked in and you looked at me and said, why are you listening to the game on the radio?
On the TV.
Through the TV. And I went, well, because I'm working in the kitchen. I'm not watching the game. So I'd rather listen to Dean and Gord, who have a much better game call than the announcers on television, because I'm not looking at the television. I was making dessert in your kitchen.
Yeah. While I was coming home from work.
No,
this is just how we work. this is how we get things done for you listeners.
Exactly.
So yeah, one game recap.
There we go. Next.
Well, they got a point.
Exactly.
So next week's schedule, is that where we're at now?
no, next talk.
Well, you know what? Eric Carlson played last night. -2.
Doesn't
no
matter.
No what? Points.
Watch the game.
Tonight. What is it? Tyranny? Got a point? So we must have won that trade.
Oh, I like your optimism. Well done, sir. That is a glass half full. Would you like another drink?
Whatever you gave me must be good if I'm coming up with that.
I got more shine if you want some. You see, I'm a big believer that when you go to the doctor and they're giving you a shot, they always rub alcohol on your arm to kill all the bacteria before they give you a shot.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a cold, can't you just take alcohol internally and it'll kill all the bacteria inside you and get rid of your cold? It would make sense, wouldn't it? So that's what I do. And most of the time, I just don't notice the cold for the rest of the night. It's great. Mm-hmm. Scotch, it's a great
thing.
So
you just drink it away?
Yeah, I do. Well, I drink it and I drink until I don't notice that I have a cold anymore because I'm too busy snoring. It's great.
So, Cardinal, we missed you on the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us your thoughts on the Carlson trade.
I was expecting it.
Right.
And I knew we wouldn't get equal value back in a trade for a player of his caliber. So I think, do I think we got enough? No. But I don't think we would have got much more. Bottom line. Because at the time of the trade happening, rosters are pretty set.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it didn't happen earlier in the summer when the return may have been different, and there must have been a reason why it didn't happen earlier in the summer. Like, the returns were going to be just as bad or worse. So he said, so Pierre Dorion said, no, I'm not taking that trade, and I'm fine with that. And if Erik Karlsson had still been here and started the season and got traded in the middle of the season, I would have been okay with that too. Or if he had signed here, I would have been okay with that too. Because I came to a bit of an epiphany moment, or a road to Damascus moment to be exact, not an epiphany, during the summer, that I realized that I am sometimes far too attached to a particular player and not to the team as a whole. Rather like the player saying you're playing for the crest on the front, not the name on the back. And players come and players go, same team. So I decided out of curiosity how many players were on the roster of the Ottawa Senators the year we started, are still on it now. I looked this
zero.
Up.
Zero.
Zach Smith.
Five.
Five.
So Smith, five. Anderson.
Two.
CeCe might have been around.
Nope. Pajot?
No.
He played that year. He played that year. He was on the 13, 14?
7 years
ago. He must have been a last year call up.
Well, he played. Whether he was on the roster for opening night, I don't know. I didn't have time to look that up.
No, definitely not.
But it was Anderson, Boro, JGP, Stone, and Smith.
Stone played in the playoffs that one game.
Yeah.
But that's how many are left from that first year that we were doing this.
Surprised it's that many.
To be honest, I was as well, because I didn't think that some of those players went that far back. And I don't think many of them were full-time NHLers other than Anderson.
Bobby Ryan must have been, too.
No, because that Daniel Alfredson was still had Alfie
on. Oh, yeah, that's right, because we did that Pittsburgh season.
Yeah.
I am surprised there's that many.
Yeah. So, really, players come and go. And
if only owners would, too.
Yeah. Which they do.
Well,
they do.
Some do and some don't. Well, some teams have lots of turnover, but some owners own teams for an awfully long time. I'll get to my thoughts on Eugene Melnyk later. But the bottom line is, Erik Karlsson being gone, it's not like it came as a surprise.
So, this was no surprise. That's right.
But
after all the garbage that's been happening over the year, agreed?
Yeah.
But people who were upset about it from the trade deadline... That's 6 months.
That's why
of being angry.
Yes.
Wasted energy, man. Wasted energy.
Agreed.
That's why I can't be bothered. It's a waste of my energy. It's going to happen. Okay. Being angry about it is not going to change it. So I choose to divert my energy elsewhere. So to be honest, okay. Am I going to miss watching him? Yeah. But...
What is it that JR on the radio says? Control the controllables?
What kind of? Yeah.
Well, he also says owners own, managers manage.
And coaches
coach and players play.
If only it worked that way.
Huh. Well, I agree. And I think we were talking about this. Actually, well, let's take a little diversion since we're talking about this. We were invited to an Ottawa Senators preseason game.
Against
fairly
Toronto.
Early ones.
Yeah.
Against Toronto. And we were invited because of what we do. And we actually got a chance to meet with Pierre Dorion. We put the soundtrack out on this podcast feed.
Yeah.
And so people, you know, if they're downloading stuff, they'd already know this. But it was quite interesting to meet with him, I thought. He was quite cordial. He didn't really say all that much, but I wasn't expecting him to. And while in our conversations, and it was after he had left, and after, I'm really bad with names, the marketing director.
Amy.
After she had left as well, and we were chit-chatting with Janice and
Matt,
thank you. And then we were sitting by ourselves during watching the game. Where was I going with this? Crap. I've been talking so long, I forgot what I was going
to say. They're very cordial. Oh,
they were very cordial, and the whole thing was very nice. No, I was trying to get back to Eugene Melnyk, and really, my frustration with him is he just needs to be quiet. And I say that other than Jeff Molson, when was the last time you heard an owner speak? Mm-hmm. Not even Boston. Yep. Jeremy Jacobs is Philadelphia. The guy who owns the Boston Bruins, he doesn't talk. And the guy who owns Philadelphia, you know, very unpopular owner, doesn't talk much.
No, well, he passed away.
Jeremy Jacobs?
No, the Philly owner.
Oh, that's right. I might get things backwards. Anyways.
Well,
Jeremy Jacobs is Boston.
He's not taking that advice. In fact, he's front and center on their first marketing video right before the EK trade.
But not
Of which he torpedoed and just did his own thing.
And I mean, that's...
As we learned, yeah.
As we learned.
No one knew that was coming out.
That did not come from marketing.
And that's where my biggest frustration is. He needs to be quiet because he doesn't speak well. And I'm not saying he doesn't stand up in front of a crowd and talk.
You mean don't have 15 rookies on our team this year and tons of draft picks?
When he speaks, he's not speaking from a position of strength. Whether it's the strength of knowledge, strength of delivery, strength of knowing what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. He likes to talk, but he doesn't necessarily know what he's talking about. And therein lies the biggest problem.
And with that, he doesn't trust the people that know what they're doing to do their jobs.
Well, that
essentially the sense, because he has nothing left, and it has nothing to do with the city or Ontario taxes or where the building is. Everything started to come apart when he was getting the divorce. And that's probably not even finalized yet.
Well,
So you had that, and then the fact that he wasn't allowed to work anymore because he lied to the securities commissions and shareholders, and he had to divest out of everything else. This is the only thing he has left, and he's bored. The Ottawa Senators are his toy box. You're not running it to grow the business or anything else. This is his toy box, and this is what he wants to control.
Well, I think he's, if I was to come up with an analogy, he's a helicopter parent.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the problem.
He hovers over everything
yeah. and tries to control everything and tries to make sure everything is as he thinks is safe. The problem is he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Totally.
And that's my biggest
in a very calm way to present that, you're bang on.
And I think he's getting low on cash.
Yeah, it's my nature, but you know, it's the people get wound up.
I think he is, especially now with the sales, your ticket sales.
Or at least his toy box doesn't have a lot of revenue. As much as it did.
Right. And so I'm going to let you keep going as long as you need.
I didn't really have much more to say on that. My biggest problem with the team, I think, is the fact that the owner is far, far, far too visible. The owner is not supposed to be visible.
Yeah, visible and involved. Overly involved.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one. Sure. It's just, be an owner.
And from what you said, he doesn't know what he's doing and he's overly involved, so it's just catastrophic.
Yeah, it becomes a hurricane. Or actually a tornado, whatever you want to call it.
Like Carolina hurricanes.
It's just destructive. And that's therein lies the problem. And I was trying to, when we were talking with Amy and Matt and Janice, I was trying to figure out a way to say that diplomatically. I'm sure they know it. But I was trying to figure out a way if I could spell it differently and say, okay, just as an outsider, this is your biggest issue. And I'm not saying it as an angry fan. I'm not saying it as a hysterical, I hate the Senators, oh my God, I'm never going to another game, and blah, 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 blah. No, no. I'm still a passionate fan. I'm just a calm one.
There are 3 points in the year that we should hear from Eugene Melnyk at most.
Happy Christmas, happy Hanukkah, and happy Easter.
The opening of the season.
Well, happy Eve. You forgot Kwanzaa.
Happy Eve. In regards to the opening of the season, if he wants... And you only do that if you're in a positive look. At his Christmas skate with the kids. And at the end of the year, to thank the fans for coming out.
And the rest of the time, stay in Barbados.
Yep. So.
Oh, no, you can be here. With that. Just not in the offices controlling stuff. Well, not on the air.
This is why you have a whole business line of business operations. And then another line of hockey operations.
Mm-hmm. Because they're supposed to be separate and working.
And you have experts running each.
Yeah.
What if you give him a whole bunch of knobs and controls so he can just play with them all the time? And so he thinks he's doing something?
He needs some levers.
Yeah. It's like levers. Dwight on the boat.
Right.
he'll need a couple of levers, though. Not just knobs and controls. Maybe if we gave him an excavator. And let him tear something up for a while.
And go dig up the parking lot.
Go dig a hole somewhere.
Go dig up LeBreton.
At LeBreton. There you go.
Well, LeBreton, in a conversation we were in recently, somebody made a really, and I don't wish to say their name, made a really salient point that, I mean, the discussions about, LeBreton are right now focused on who's paying the cleanup. And the government is saying, well, if you're buying the land, you're cleaning it up. And the counterpoint is, well, hang on. We don't know how contaminated it is. And even your studies don't know how contaminated it is. So if I'm paying $10 million for the land and it's going to be $15 to clean it up, okay. But if I'm paying $10 million and it's $150 to clean it up, which it could be because that was some really heavy industry down there early in the last century, like really heavily contaminated.
Yeah.
So it could cost astronomical amounts to clean up. Never mind the time. So they buy it, and then it takes 3-4 years to clean up, and then takes 2 or 3 years to build an arena. That's 7 years, possibly 8 from right now. Which, when you stop and think about it, that's the length of Erik Karlsson's next contract.
Yep.
So he would be finished playing that contract by the time that building opens.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you pay one player that much for that long being in the old building? Hard to say.
Sure.
Hard to say.
Well, it looks like right now it's probably cut them, what, 10,000 season ticket holders about?
The numbers are guesstimates, but getting close to that.
Yeah.
Now, is it that, tonight, is it that one move? Or is it just the whole thing? So that's thing? The thing.
I think it's
cumulative.
It's cumulative.
It's cumulative, yeah. But he's a big thing. And with this, too, it's if this happened with, and what we mentioned with Ian last time, if this is happening with Eric, what's the next thing? Is it going to be in 6 years? We're just going to hear, well, Brady Tkachuk always plays on the line and he's a hothead and he just doesn't fit our team culture. So we had to get rid of him instead of paying him.
You draft to get superstars.
Thomas
Chabot. They don't grow on trees.
That's
you keep
right.
them.
And that's the one thing. Thank you for bringing that up. Because in our meeting, Pierre Dorion mentioned that they wanted to change their approach in regards to how they're drafting in the late rounds.
They want to draft character.
Yeah, they want to draft character in the more versus talent.
Error. Use that as a higher weighting.
And I was thinking about that and just... In regards to this team's draft history, which he has been very involved with, I would say that they've done a very good job in the late rounds
yep.
and a very terrible job in the early rounds.
Possibly. It's hard to say.
Well, really, you've got...
They've done well in the late
Carlson
rounds, for
they
sure.
blew out. Like, Carlson was a knockout of the park.
Absolutely.
But then you've got guys like CeCe and Lazar.
Zibanejad.
Yeah. And that problem is that Pumple. They didn't spread it. Nathan Pumple. Zibanejad's still an NHL player. Yeah. But, and it was a weak draft, but why didn't you spread out the draft picks?
Can't say.
Right? So, why are you changing the... I don't know. I don't get it. Unless he just got mixed in his words, which he tended to do too. Because with that also in the recording, which... Some other bloggers thought that we went easy on them, and I asked Pierre Dorion, why should I continue to be an Ottawa Senators fan? Which is actually a very easy sales question to ask in an interview. Not that I know anything about that. But he started to answer it in regards to kind of on the right path, but then his answer ended up veering into how you build a good hockey team. And this is one of the major problems in regards to this organization. They're not seeing it as, and they don't have the people to do it, but they're not really seeing it as a business. He's trying to build a big... What excites Pierre Dorion is building a good hockey team based in regards to the model that he likes. But why am I buying into that?
I was going to say, I think they're running it as a business. They're running it as a business to be successful in terms of wins and losses.
Right.
They're not running it as a business because they didn't until recently have the right people in place, which maybe they do now. I'll give them some time since they're all very, very new.
Yeah.
But they're not running it as a business in terms of an entertainment corporation. They're running it in terms of a business that's successful in generating results. And the results are the win-loss column, not the attendance number. See what I mean?
Yeah, in a way, but then they also said that we, because Dorion ended up saying, not with us, but in another, it was a Friday after the trade or the Monday or something like that, where it's something like, we've been in and out of the playoffs, and really we've had two kind of fluke years being the Hamburglar run, and then 2017. And he essentially called them flukes.
Poor choice of words.
Yeah. So it's like, well, if you thought that was a fluke, then why did you give Andrew Hammond a 3-year contract or whatever it was? It was too long, and then you're stuck. And you're saying that you don't want to give up prospects in regards to just filling out for rentals? It's like, well, if you look at it, you gave up a third so that Colorado would pay Andrew Hammond. What was the other one? Second round pick
for
Broussard, $2 million on Broussard.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that you need to make business moves, but I don't need to know the ins and outs of this. No other team really does. So I don't know. It's they don't seem to be customer focused. And then even with that, when Nick, the new guy, the COO, who really kind of builds things on, because he's politically driven, so they do a lot of their stuff political, or just like the presentation and everything. When they ask him, or it's like to the number of fans and the people that have been upset, and you say, oh, that's just a vocal minority. Ticket sales kind of say different.
I think that's where, again, they are, because they're so thin, they don't have the expertise to know how to properly say what's on their mind.
Yeah, and
I don't want to say spin it, because I don't like spin. Right. But it's all about phrasing it properly.
Yes. And he's not a salesperson or a business person. He's a lobbyist and a politician. That's his training.
And he's now the CEO. Oh, that's an interesting mix.
It makes sense with the LeBreton project.
Well, exactly with that.
But with everything else, not so much.
That's why. Well, I'm
glad. And he's very in line with, or very connected to the Liberal Party.
I'm glad that they've got a new marketing director. But
she's great.
She is. I mean, we met her, and she's very personable. She's certainly unbelievably energetic.
Mm-hmm. And approachable.
And approachable. But she's also, I mean, she was, when we met her, she had been there, what?
A couple of weeks.
And I got to give her credit for how much she had picked up. And her candor in explaining it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were a closed door audience. It's not like we were recording or anything at the time. But she was pretty candid about what she was saying when we weren't recording as well. Right. Like, she was very straightforward with the whole thing. It's like, oh, yeah, we got some issues, we got some problems to deal with, and I know I've got to deal with this, and I know this is an ongoing, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, you haven't been around that long, and you've already picked all that up. I'll give you credit for that. But it's obvious if you're a hockey fan,
but also if you're trained in marketing, which she is.
Well, she is, but she didn't know that until she arrived, and she picked it up pretty quickly, and I give credit for that. I'm just wondering if they need somebody like a professional, I don't want to say public relations or spokesperson, but that kind of thing. Not a spin. I don't want a spin doctor.
Yeah.
But a person like, okay, here's who talks. It's either going to be Pierre Dorion talking specifically on hockey related matters, or this person.
Which is supposed to be Nick.
Yeah. Well, then maybe we'll have a substitute for Nick.
Personally, I don't like the approach.
Well, I think what this organization is really, really missing right now is Cyril Leader. Because he knew how to do all this.
Yeah.
Honestly. And he did it with very little fanfare, with very little notice, but he was so good at it, he just did it.
And I think we just got used to that being the norm.
It was
because his excellence is a baseline.
Yeah. We got exactly right. We got accustomed to how damn good he was at it. And he was low key and he just went out and he got stuff done. And when he was gone, things have really, really not gone well.
Right. Especially when he got someone from Toronto.
Yeah. I'll give you that. That didn't work out.
Right. And also with it, because, and the other, and as much as we appreciate what Amy's doing, we will only see if she can even get things through. Excuse me. Because Eugene is overseeing everything.
Well, again, that goes back to my earlier point.
Yeah, so if he's quashing things, which is why I think Tom and Selmy ended up leaving, because because he saw what was coming. You gave crap to the fan base, and now I got to pick up the pieces, and you're not going to let me do it. I'm out.
Well, I think that's, ouch, sorry, just almost put my ring back on one of my fingers that I shouldn't put it on. I think he probably did the right thing.
Yeah,
I can't deal with this crap. And how if this keeps happening, is that going to get through Eugene's head? Uh-oh, I keep hiring people who are good and they keep leaving because I'm pissing them off. Or is it going to be, they suck, I'll just find somebody
else. It's the latter.
I don't know. Well, no. We don't know that yet. Sorry, I'm not that negative to say, oh, yeah, it's just all Eugene.
Oh, no, it's just I can't get anything done here, and I know it's going down. I need to bail.
Well, we'll see if that happens again.
How many of their salespeople have left?
What did they
do? There's turnover like crazy.
Well, there's turnover like crazy, probably also part because they're setting targets that are not meatable.
Right. Probably.
Right? Because that's
They're also commission-based, and they've just gotten creamed out of things that the salespeople can't control.
Yeah, the salespeople can't control the fact that there's, you know, a much lowered desire for their product. And if you're not meeting sales numbers, you're blaming the salespeople for not meeting the sales numbers. Like, well, the problem here isn't the salespeople. The problem is...
Or is it the product?
Well, no, it's exactly. It's not the product. It's the freaking messaging around the product. Look, that's the problem.
Look at Tesla.
Yeah, they're nose
diving. Tesla's a great product, but Elon Musk is ridiculous.
It's also... It's a great product with a horrible distribution. And a horrible delivery system.
Right. Which,
because it's all hype and no finesse. Like, it's not properly built. As a person who...
Which, there's a lot.
As a person who used to do process improvement for a living, it sucks.
You do a five factors analysis on that thing. And
yeah. It's a disaster area because it's all built on hype. And he's delivering a great product basically built by hand. Yeah. It's all custom built. It's not a standardized process. Right. It's not a mass production process. Therein lies the problem in the car industry. It's great if you're Rolls-Royce. Rolls-Royce can pull that off because they have coachworks to custom build things in one particular line of work if you're buying a Phantom 6 or a Phantom 7, sorry. Not the Phantom, not the modern Phantom, but the old school one.
Right.
Coach building is one thing. And basically, that's what Tesla is. It's coach building. And... that doesn't work in mass production.
Yeah. But with, so, yeah, going back to the Sens, agree, disagree, to you, does it really feel like right now that it's an us versus them mentality everywhere?
Who's the us and who's the them? I'm not sure where you're going.
You can go Melnick versus the fan base versus Melnick, the players versus the management, especially the Zach Smith waving.
I would say
that was where I was really concerned.
I would say I would not say it's Melnick versus the fan base. I would say that it's a certain segment of Ottawa Senators fan base against Melnick. There's an awful lot of people who just don't care. There are a lot of people who don't care.
Yeah, they're not passive fans.
They're the silent majority, but there's a lot of people who just don't care. There's a vocal smaller group, and I mean, I'm not calling people a vocal minority because that's being demeaning and dismissive. But the majority of Sens fans, I can honestly say, don't care. The majority. Out of this city of a million people, there is not a majority of the Sens fans here who care about Eugene Melnick and having him being annoying.
They're not. Half of them do, I'd say.
You think 50% of them care? And the building still had 15,000 in it today? No, I disagree.
It was free. It was free.
Those tickets are sold long ago.
No, not that 6,000 of them were sold. It was 6,000 that were sold. And then they started to discount, and you had Chicago, and they gave a lot of them out for free.
If I see the building attendance under 10,000, then I'll think it's 50% of the fan base care.
It'd be interesting to see.
It's one thing if it's your fan base, it's another if it's your paying fan base.
Right.
True. It's also...
Now, the thing is that in the business, especially if you're not doing... Because going back 3 years now, I guess, when... attendance started to drop with the Phoenix pay and everything else that's happening in the city, and the highway construction's been a friggin' mess, believe me.
Even though it's perfect now.
Mm, have you gone by Carling?
I haven't been able to take the highway.
Works for me.
In September.
Works for me. I live in Centertown. I have it worst.
No. It's really rough right now. In rush hour, it's a mess.
Well, it depends what time you're trying to leave.
Rush hour.
Well, I left at 5:15.
My on-ramp's closed, and it's been closed for a month.
That's because you're at Carling. That doesn't count. Yeah. You're not in Centertown.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in Centertown. Right. I'm where all the government workers are leaving, and I made it out to the arena in 45 minutes to get out there for 6:15.
Yeah.
Can't do much better than that.
Oh, for that. What time did you leave? 5:30?
I left at 5:30, and I pulled into the parking lot at 6:15.
Now it was also a preseason game, though.
But it's still rush hour.
Yeah. Rush hour starts at like 2:30 now. It's lunacy.
I was on the highway at 2:15 this afternoon going,
oh, I see. I'll go to the arena then. It's an hour and a half.
No, I was going to Russell, actually, at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Ew.
And it was already...
That doesn't mean. No, that one didn't work.
I didn't say I was... exactly. See, it's not... You can't do it. Nice try.
Shoot, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, because the whole us versus them and all
yeah, I don't know stuff. Where you're going with that.
How much different would it just be if at the outdoor game, Eugene Melnyk would have said...
Nothing!
Either nothing, or, you know, it's like, I understand, I've probably said this before, but it just seems so friggin' basic. I understand that the city is having issues, especially with our number one employer, with payroll. However, we are trying to be a very exciting team. This wasn't 2 years ago. This was last year.
Yep.
Yeah.
December.
Jeez. We made it. We were one goal away from the Stanley Cup, and we're trying our best. We need your help.
Yeah.
We need your help to make it successful, and I hope that you guys want to come out to the game and enjoy your time there.
Well, that's what he said.
Watch.
But he said it quite differently.
So he said it more as
that's. That's so what he meant to help. Say? That's not the way it came
out. I don't even think that's even what he meant to say.
Who knows?
Because Pete, and I've worked in places where they blame the customer.
Yes.
And those places and the people do not succeed. Well, and I've also worked somewhere where we've asked the customer for help and referrals and recommendations. And these places are 10 minutes apart. I'll tell you off mic about it. And one is extremely successful and the other one is failing.
Yeah.
Same company.
Customer centric matters.
It's all about the mentality.
True. It's also about how you phrase it.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. But you phrase it in the way that you mentally think.
Oh, yeah. And I think he mentally thinks wrong, which is why he needs to be quiet.
Correct. Yes. But even with that in the background, is he still whining and complaining about things and just pushing it down? Because I think it was Chris Stevenson, and we really need to get him on hopefully soon.
I would love
to get him on. And apparently him and I have the same voice, according to some people on the radio. It's just higher tone.
Yeah.
And a little rasp.
I never really thought of it that way.
Yeah. Anyways, I think someone ended up posting that Brian Murray spent 80% of his time managing up.
Well, he did a hell of a job of it for an awfully long time.
Right. Man. And now how much do you think Pierre Dorion can even manage up?
He can't manage
up. He can't.
Because he's not Brian Murray.
Right. He doesn't have the, well, not ten, well, tenure, if you want to put it that way.
Clout.
Clout, experience, outside knowledge.
Tenure.
To be able to do that.
Well, he's not the respected elder statesman of the NHL.
Correct. Because Eugene probably listened to what Brian Murray had to say. I don't think it works that way with Pierre Dorion.
Here's Brian.
No offense to Pierre Dorion. I think Pierre Dorion's a great guy. And people said that they were nervous talking to him. Were you guys nervous with him?
No, I found him very approachable.
Yeah, I just went. I was very, granted, I deal with some pretty high level people,
and
but
he just stood in the center of the room and answered questions. He was very approachable, very low key. Yeah.
And to the people that said that we didn't do a good job, I got two pieces of information out of him that nobody else would have gotten.
And to the people who said we didn't do a good job, why didn't you step up and ask a harder question? You were standing 5 feet from the general manager of the Ottawa Senators, and you softballed him. So if you're going to complain that nobody stepped up and asked the difficult question, look in the mirror.
I saw no reason
look to in ask. The mirror, because you were standing there and you didn't ask it.
And I saw no reason to ask him about an Erik Karlsson trade, because what's the point?
It didn't matter.
It's too late.
He said their point, which we'll probably ask for that as a touch point too. But yeah, and with that, all my hard questions were for Nick, and he didn't bother showing up.
Yeah, mine was actually going to be... Well, mine wasn't a hard question. Mine was more of an interest question for Amy. And I just never got a chance to answer it.
Yeah, but she wasn't taking questions. She was asking questions.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I didn't get a chance to ask her.
She's a marketer. That's what they do.
I know, but I want to ask you a marketing question. Like, what do you think? Anyway,
we will have another meeting with her.
I hope so, because yeah. I mean,
I haven't emailed her back yet in regards to the.
I would like to, because I think between the three of us, we have interesting thoughts that maybe she hasn't had. And I mean, I'm not trying
and
to
she,
run.
And she was open to it.
Yeah, too. I'm not trying to run the business. Like, okay, these are thoughts you may not have had. I'd like you to think about X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Did you like really how she simple. Actually invited us back for another meeting and then said, oh, and I guess with everyone else?
It's because we were talking more.
Yeah. I love taking over conversations like that.
I was just being in the background.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's what I do.
You won't leave it at like, do you guys have any questions? No, they're with me. Oh, okay.
he's got the list, so, you know, we talked about this ahead of time.
Yeah,
and
if you don't like
prepare.
It, come freaking prepared. I spent a lot of time. I had five pages of notes.
Well, we had talked about it how many times ahead of time, talking about, well, what would we like to ask? And you collated it and you know, phrased it out properly, but we had been talking about this ahead of time. It's like, no, he's got our questions. You don't need to look at me. And I'm basically the tall guy who stands behind everybody else and doesn't say much. That's my nature.
And I have to stand in the front, otherwise I can't see. You know what's fun?
But I do give credit to the senators for actually doing that.
I agree.
I do.
It's a very symbiotic relationship at this point.
If it can become synergistic, it would be even better. I like your word of the word. I use the word symbiotic. Very good.
Yeah, right?
I'm trying to process what you meant by symbiotic.
We gain something and they gain something equally.
Okay.
And if it can become synergistic, as in the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, it would be even better.
Their biggest point was, be angry at us. At least you're engaged. I don't want you to be apathetic. And that was setting in.
Yeah. You were apathetic.
Yes.
You were really getting
I'm still that. Struggling with you, it.
Yeah. Who knows how Vegas goes?
Well,
Vegas might just shift you over
you
to
see,
Vegas.
I sympathize with you because I have been accused of being apathetic. I'm not.
No way. Really? About the sense?
Yeah. Because people don't know. This is, and from a couple of people who I've told about the fact that I do this and they've listened to it, and they find that I'm not. Well, compared to you two, I'm not passionate. I'm like, you know me. You realize I'm. Okay. The bottom line is.
You express yourself differently.
I'm a Libra. Okay?
So is he.
So why?
Canuck is definitely a Libra.
But I'm the one that brings balance.
No. I do.
And I have a friend of mine who says I'm very Libra. I'm very balanced. Like I don't really get high and low on most things because I can't be bothered wasting the energy. So I may be a bit more cerebral about things than emotional.
Yeah, but okay, so that's actually a really good point. Because you're saying, you bring up the point that, okay, things like, you know Erik Karlsson's going to get traded, you know the team's going to react a certain way. I can't control that, so I'm not going to waste my energy worrying about it. Mm-hmm. I am similar, but I tend to react a very different way in the sense I'm not going to waste energy. I look at it, it's like, okay, you're going into a rebuild. I can get behind a rebuild. There's hope in a rebuild. You can get excited about the prospects. But what I see right now is, no, this is just a payroll issue. You want to keep as cheap contracts as you can. When these players become really good demand a pay raise, I've seen a pattern of behavior here. You're going to let them go.
What you're saying is that these decisions are not hockey decisions.
They're money decisions. So,
well, there's a pattern of one.
And I can't control this.
Who else?
They have cut money like crazy.
So I can't control.
Well, like what?
From acquiring FNUF to trading FNUF. Who else did you lose?
Whoa. You were the one who said you take FNUF, you keep him for a couple of years, and then you trade him off when you don't want him anymore. Don't worry about his big contract.
We still needed him. Oh, no. I just knew that his contract wouldn't end here.
So they traded him off.
But we still friggin' need him. This defense is...
I
didn't like the trade when we got rid of him.
The second trade.
We still needed Dion FNUF.
You would want Dion FNUF still on this team. He's getting skated around by everybody.
I never complained about that because I was complaining about Cody Ceci saying that Cody Ceci was burying FNUF.
So you think that...
Check the tapes!
So you think Dion Phaneuf without Cody Ceci would still be a really valuable asset to this team?
I think it would have been fine.
In this season? In this season right now.
And you know why? Because all these kids, like Lage, what, Formanton's different because you can't send him to the AHL. I would not have bought out Alex Burrows because that is it doesn't impact the cap. Not that the cap matters because like $30 million a room right now. I would have not bought out Alex Burrows and I would have extended Freddie Claesson for whatever. I wanted at a 10% raise. Because with that, you have Burrows up. So who's up? Formanton would make the team because he's CHL or NHL. Brady Tkachuk to the AHL. There's some other guys you can bring up. Who else is on this team? Colin Schlappick's already down.
I know.
No, I want him down.
So do I.
Colin White, send him down. Max Lajoie, down. And you have all of these young guys winning in the AHL. You deal with it at the NHL level. You keep these guys. They're not going to be a great team, but they won't bottom out. And all these guys, like, I don't think you get much for them, but even if you look at the free agents, ignoring Mark Stone, and if you need to do the Bobby, or not the Bobby Ryan trade, the Erik Karlsson trade, fine, I'll ignore that. If you want to keep Stone and Duchesne, great. What do you think you can get for Tom Pyatt? Fifth or sixth round pick at the deadline?
If that. Maybe. I doubt you get anything.
Even if Tom Pyatt for a penalty killer?
No.
Late round pick.
Late round pick.
Bag of pucks.
Max McCormick. Pay Arvey.
Bag of used pucks.
Pay Arvey, then Claesson again. Borowiecki you may want to even look at. Cody Ceci's going to get traded at the deadline. They're not going to give him a 10% raise to qualify him. And he's going to have a nervous freaking breakdown this year anyway. So so you take all your young guys, you put them down like what they did in 2011 or whenever they ran for the Calder Cup. You let them win together, and you in a year, you flipped it over to the Detroit model.
Yeah, but and I still wouldn't have kept Dion Phaneuf. Dion Phaneuf is a lot.
Before you guys
not a good player anymore.
Before you guys got into roster decisions,
he's better than Gabrick.
Gabrick's on the IR.
Yeah, no,
because IR means you're not paying him.
Right, but now the intention was to buy out Gabrick because he was cheaper than Phaneuf.
Except they played him and he got hurt.
So here's what I'm saying: I don't trust ownership right now.
Yeah.
In a rebuild, because I think their decisions are all money driven as opposed to future hockey driven. So my way of reacting to it and saying, okay, we'll control the controllables. Well, I'm going to control not being as invested.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I control.
Fair enough.
You know that, you know, it's a little different twist than
which leads to apathy,
which goes down the road of apathy or mm-hmm. paying less attention or maybe not going to as much or something like that. That's kind of the way I'll react.
But then it also becomes a vicious circle. So, you know,
yeah.
People are saying, well, I'm not paying for tickets until I see this team succeed, and they're not spending money on players, so I'm not buying tickets.
I've never heard that, though. Not until they succeed.
No, yeah.
Until they succeed?
Well, until I think they're succeeding, until I see. Until
ownership.
Oh, bullshit. Sorry.
Yeah, everything's falling on ownership because he's making all the decisions.
That's a convenient excuse. It's a convenient
excuse. It's the truth.
Okay, if Eugene Melnyk sold this team tomorrow, would you buy season tickets the next day?
I would go buy something, yeah.
I think I would.
You would buy season tickets the next day, no matter how bad the season is going, the moment that Eugene Melnyk sells the
team.
Hands
down, because there's hope.
Why? Is there hope?
Because I see the players that they have coming up, and I would just assume that they weren't like any other NHL team and commit to winning, or at least trying to win.
And you don't.
What other team is like this right now?
I'm sorry, I'm seeing a logic disconnect in this. So a change of ownership means that the players that are coming up will be better?
No.
Will be stay. Kept here.
They will pay to keep them to stay.
So right, and with this too, and I get where you're coming from. The team likes to talk. They really like to talk. we need a show me to be able to commit. If it's extending and signing Stone for, like what Ian said last time, signing Stone to a 1 year is the absolute worst thing you can do.
Right.
If they come back in January and sign Stone and sign Duchesne, which I thought Duchesne was going to get signed at the end of camp in the way that Dorian was talking in our meeting, that shows at least there's long-term commitment to our top skilled guys that remain.
Right. I don't see them staying.
And we don't have that. And after Zach Smith got waived and both of them were pissed about it, I'm concerned.
Concerned that?
They won't come back.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they'll come back. I assume Stone and Duchesne are gone after this year. Because they're too much money.
Show me.
Right. So show me differently.
You've told me that you've been negotiating. Show me. So, and this is where everyone now is on the sidelines.
Right.
Well,
money is tight. These things are expensive.
Okay, hang on. Everyone's on the sidelines. There are a lot of people.
A lot of people are on the sidelines. Not everybody.
6,000 people have remained committed.
But that's a big drop from, 10 to 12 or so?
It's a significant drop.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the team does to react to that drop.
Right, and for me to see it, you need to show me. January 1st, with whatever happens with Mark Stone, is the first step.
That'll be a big one.
I honestly thought Matt Duchesne was going to be extended at the end of camp. Because everything they're saying is like, well, you can't risk a Carlson injury. Matt Duchesne is 6 months younger than Eric Carlson.
Doesn't have the injury history, though.
All the rest of the league is looking at what Ottawa Senators are doing, and they're laughing.
I don't think they care. The other teams don't care. They know
that there's something wrong going on here in the state of Denmark.
When Jeremy Jacobs has to make an equalization payment, that's when they're going to care.
I was going to say, maybe. I think the media in a lot of the rest of the league, it might be doing that because that's what the media likes to do. I don't think most of the other owners care unless it costs them money.
If Montreal was doing this, we'd be shitting on them.
Oh, yeah.
We would be. We would be poking fun of them.
But doing...
In fact, we do a little bit with some of the stuff they do.
doing what? Because they traded P.K. Subban for Weber? Because they traded Galchenyuk away? Because they haven't extended... what's his place?
Pacioretty?
Yeah.
Well, he's gone.
If they had
you could crap on them as much as you wanted, if you really did. But... I don't know. I guess I just don't care enough.
You don't care. You don't say it the same way.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I just don't care.
It's a different way to be a fan. You don't get into all this stuff because you have other interests and everything else. And to be honest, and this is how...
The NHL doesn't run my life, I'll give you that.
But this is how friggin' pathetic it's been over the last 2 weeks. At 38 years old, I've had a lot of nightmares about Eric Carlson, and it's ridiculous.
Oh, weird. That is weird.
Ridiculous. I'm like, this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I watched the Sharks game and I was just like, I can get behind this. I see him in the Sharks jersey, which is quite upsetting at the beginning, but now I'm fine with it. And I've always been more of a hockey fan than a Senators fan. And I know that some people, I'm not a young professional anymore, but I'm a professional, successful, who has other interests, and the podcast really has brought up my fandom and my personal interest and emotional attachment. And it's just like, and it's still impacted me quite significantly that I can just imagine. And Silver Sevens posted an article that one of them wrote in regards to her fandom and how it's impacted things. Just how unreasonably you get emotionally attached. And I know even Islanders fans have come out with that over the summer too after Tavares left.
Mm.
So they kind of feel it, but that was a one-off to them?
Well, he left as a free agent. Eric Carlson was traded
prior to
10 months before that exact same thing happened.
But
We got better return than they did.
Debatable.
Hey, they got nothing.
I'm not very excited about Chris DeMello. A third line center, a third D pairing, and a 20th overall pick. So Jim O'Brien.
Oh yeah, thanks for that.
I don't know.
We're a little rusty. Yeah, at this.
So with that too, it's the ball is in their court, and if you own a business, you don't say once it was a Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. Not come here and then I'll invest in the team. You need to buy more tickets and then we'll become better. No. The business, in any business whatsoever, they need to invest in themselves first. And hopefully they do it the right way. And then people will buy.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And, you know, if they go on a little winning streak right now, there will be people that will come back.
We mentioned that watching the... It was a very exciting game. This was high-paced. I wish they played this way when they had Mike Hoffman and Erik Karlsson on the team.
Right.
But they weren't allowed to.
But like you also mentioned, it's not going to be their words that are going to win back these disenfranchised fans. It's going to take action. Because, I look at the way Melnick and Dorion talked from February onward with the town halls and everything like that, and I just felt like they were being two-faced the whole time. Yeah. Just saying what they need to say to get the job done, sell tickets, and move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't work, so they got to have a different message.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is to just get Yuji Melnick out.
Out.
Yeah.
I think I said that about 45 minutes ago.
And once again...
you sit him down by the fireplace with Mark Borowiecki.
God.
Yeah, okay, let's move on.
Poor Boro. But, and with that, that was one of my comments to Nick for the your business operations. If you're saying that Eugene Melnick is not making the decisions, Pierre Dorion should not be only the general manager. He should be president of hockey operations.
Well, if he's not making the decisions, he shouldn't be talking to the public about them either.
True.
Indeed.
Simple.
Right. But just give him the title of president of hockey ops. And general manager.
Yeah.
And then you can at least say in theory that he's the final voice. But anyway.
Before we go any further, because we've been jumping around a whole lot of topics, we've been talking, we talked earlier on about a few of the players who are making their debuts with this team. And we actually have an interview to, we should do that now, actually. We have Joel from Belleville, who is a blogger and writes for AHL Hockey News, I think it is. Who's
Inside AHL Hockey.
Yeah, we should give. Let's give him a call.
Really worth a follow. He does a really good job in regards to in game and stuff like that. So I've followed him for a long time in regards to.
I haven't. I should do that.
Yeah. I just followed him on the account. But yeah, so to kind of figure out what's going on in Belleville, almost at bingo.
All right.
So his Twitter account as well, at Joel, J-O-L, oh, no, J-O-E-L, Vanderlaan, V-A-N-D-E-R-L-A-A-N.
L-A-A-N, yeah. I got that one wrong.
All right, why don't we call him up?
Yeah, let's give him a call.
All right, we're joined on the line with Joel Vanderlaan from Inside AHL Hockey and Quinte Hockey Sports Headquarters. Joel, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Glad to be on the podcast tonight.
For sure. Now, the Senators moved to Belleville last season. Even though the team wasn't very successful on the ice, how did the community embrace the team off the ice?
Yeah, it was a good season for the fans to get their feet wet back with a hockey team. There was quite a bit of heartbreak when the Bulls left after that history, and just excited to get a hockey team back in the Yardman there.
Excellent. Maxime Lajoie had his NHL debut tonight. Coach Boucher really liked him last year, and he's certainly leapfrogged over other players to make it to the big team this year. What can you tell us about his play and development last year and coming into this season?
Yeah, he's been really solid and impressive preseason. He was averaging 23 minutes of ice time in Ottawa in the preseason, only behind Cody Ceci. Real smooth skater. He's developed exponentially from his time last season. He really continued to show improvement throughout his first professional season. Each quarter has seen increased ice time in Belleville. And with that increased ice time, we saw the offensive production follow. He registered 6 points in his final 14 games. And Kurt Kleinendorf was always noting his hockey IQ and skating ability last season.
Joel, Colin White's another player to make the NHL out of camp. Now, to us, it looked like he hadn't accomplished, you know, too much. Actually had a 15-game goalless drought in Belleville just before being called back up to Ottawa last season. How have you seen his development, and how do you think it's been? Do you think putting him here in Ottawa to start the year is the right move?
Yeah, I think so. He had a little bit of nagging injury still from that wrist that came out of camp last year. He was named Belleville's Rookie of the Year. And, you know, 27 points in 47 games in Belleville, it might not seem like a lot, but on a team that your leading point scorer had 32 goals and they struggled mightily to find the back of the net, it's not an insignificant amount for a first-year pro.
Now, also with that, Christian Yaros was the last cut out of camp this year. His season last year was hampered with multiple injuries as well, but he looks like he might be the first guy called up for the defense. Now, this is in contrast with Andreas Englund, who at some point they were pretty much planned out to be about the same in regards to prospect ability, but Englund was one of the earlier cuts. Now, can you tell us how they're looking either together as a tandem and what you're kind of projecting for them to become in the next couple of years?
Yeah, they played quite a bit together last year on that second pair. Englund's your true stay-at-home defenseman. Not a lot of flash. His foot speed's not the greatest. He's the coach's dream, I'll say. At 21, he was wearing an A in an AHL team. But with Yaros, there's a little bit more. He's a heavy hitting guy, really hard shot, can play the power play. He'll play top 4 minutes in Belleville, and I think he is. Him and Christian Wolanin will be the first two guys up, I would assume, as call-ups this year.
Now, Philip Gustafson has been declared the goalie of this future for the organization as a whole. However, he was sent to the AHL, or sorry, the ECHL. What do you see being the goaltending strategy for this season between Hogberg, Gustafson, and the veteran Mike McKenna? Is it going to be difficult as it was last year with Hammond being around and taking starts away and having four goalies, or do you think they'll be able to work it out so that each of them are getting a lot of playing time where they need to be?
Yeah, I think McKenna, they brought him in to stabilize that that goalie rotation. He provides mentorship also. They allowed 266 goals against, an average of 3.5 a game last year. Second highest in the league, right? So they brought in McKenna. He's a consummate pro. He won the President's Award in the category of player excellence last year. He's the winningest U.S.-born goaltender in American Hockey League history. And he ranks top 10 in wins and shutouts in AHL history. So there is... he's got to play, right? So I think in a way they're looking for games for both Gustafson and McKenna. Well, McKenna can help stabilize Belleville. But Gustafson's still billed as the Senators' future net, and I think they're just easing him into the North American game while allowing him to see game action as a bona fide number one with the Beast.
Okay, so with that, where does Hogberg kind of fit into things?
I think with Hogberg, the plan is for him to get game action in Belleville this year. He's looked a lot better. He had a strong finish to the season last year, and I think the thing is, if you send a 24-year-old down to the ECHL, it's a make or break year for Marcus Hogberg, in my opinion. And he's looked really, really well in practice and in the scrimmage they had at training camp there.
Now, switching gears here. In the Erik Karlsson trade that went down, the Sens needed to move a prospect back just so they can free up space in terms of the number, maximum number of contracts, and they gave up Francis Perron. Now, he seemed to be a highly touted before the trade. Do you think he was the right person to send out?
It's similar to the Marcus Hogberg thing, where it's really a make it or break it year for Francis coming off his ELC this season. Perron missed nearly 60% of Belleville's games last season with a wrist injury. Though he did put up big numbers in junior and was an elite scorer at that level, it hasn't really translated to the pro ranks. He has 41 points in 112 AHL games. So, and Belleville has already sent down Ryan Scarfo, Boston Lear, and Luchak to Brampton. There was a numbers game with Balsers coming in too. So I think Perron is a guy that the depth in Belleville up front this year is going to be quite a big jump from last season. And you already see it with Lear, who had 6 points in 8 games with Belleville last year, already in the ECHL, and Luchak, another highly rated prospect, already sent to the ECHL. So Perron, it's a numbers game with him too. And, I think him shipping it out clears the room for some other youngsters like Drake Batherson, Logan Brown to really get into the American Hockey League game this season.
Hey, great. So just one last question before we let you go, and we'll just get some more info from you. Who are guys that you think that would be kind of like diamonds in the rough to keep our eyes and ears open for in Belleville this year?
Yeah, I think Jordan Murray's a guy that has some offense from the blue line. Troy Mann's really liked his game. You also got guys, I've liked Chase Ballasy's game a lot. Good two-way center that's going to be going to bring a lot of stabilization to the Belleville lineup. And then you go down. You see guys like Adam Tambellini, who's a shoot-first guy that could make some noise with some goals this year in Belleville. And Andrew Sturtz is always a guy that has really great speed and a feisty player too. Only 5'8", but he gets in there and has world-class speed.
Great. All right, Joel. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And if you can let our listeners know where we can either read or see more of your content, because I know that you're one of my preferred or favorite follows from Belleville, that you do a really good job of keeping up with the news down there. So yeah, I would like to kind of share that with our listeners.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. So you can find my work at Quincy Hockey Headquarters. That's my personal blog dedicated to the Belleville Senators and hockey news in the Quincy area. And then I contribute a weekly piece to Inside the AHL Hockey. And this coming weekend, I'll have my season preview for Belleville up on there. So look forward to that. And keep following me on Twitter, and I'll post my articles on there as well.
Awesome. And your Twitter handle again?
At Joel Vanderland, J is capitalized, and then Vanderland is not capitalized.
Okay, great. Awesome. All right, bud. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks Joel. Appreciate it.
Have a good one. Thanks to Joel for his time and insight. We'll probably be touching base with him again later on in Belleville, but do give him a follow on Twitter or check out his blog, because he certainly has some very relevant and salient points about what's going on in Belleville. Mm-hmm. It's getting late here in the studio with no number on it, but there was one thing I thought... There's one thing I really wanted to talk about before we left.
Poor Puddle Duck sign. You worked so hard on that, and it's so beautiful.
Oh, my God. I just suddenly realized I have a gift to put on the wall here.
Oh.
To put on the wall here, yes, from Russell. And I forgot it.
Is it a cat?
It is not a cat, nor it is a... It's not a cat sconce, no. I will endeavor to remember to bring that on next visit. No, what I really wanted to talk about was something that happened earlier this week. And it's something that happened that I think all of us in the hockey fandom world rejoiced, because finally, the Department of Player Safety did something right. They did it properly. They did what we wanted them to do. They did what we thought they should do. And of course, it will be changed on appeal, but...
Oh, yeah! Yeah, yeah.
Tom Wilson got nailed with a 20-game suspension for yet another headshot, and the world rejoiced.
Troy Wilson, right?
Tom Wilson.
All right.
Yeah,
what a perfect...
I saw them like, wow, 20 games. Well, that's going to get appealed. It's
like, I thought that too, and I went, yeah, but good on them for trying it. Yeah. Now, the only problem, my first thought was, this reminds me of Brendan Shanahan. When Brendan Shanahan first got the job,
yep.
He went hard on Wisniewski.
That's right.
And then had to...
Well, he went hard on like... 3-4 people and then like,
and then backed off on everything. So I'm really, really, really hoping that George Parros does not get that same phone call saying, you can't do this to my star players, because if you can't set this precedent, because what happens if it's a star player?
Now falls in.
Wait until Crosby or Malkin.
He's a repeat offender, a chronic repeat offender. He's not a star player doing it for the first time. Everybody relax and then celebrate that they did the right thing.
Finally.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the Max Domi suspension then?
What's that?
You want to talk about the Max Domi suspension?
And how ridiculous that was? We can talk about that for sure.
You get to miss the rest of the preseason.
You get to miss the rest of the games you don't. Yeah, you miss the rest of the games you don't want to play. Well, wah. No cash. Well,
guess
nothing.
What? You still made the team.
Yeah.
That Jack Astor. Jack?
Jack Astor?
No. What? John Aston Reese from the Penguins. Just started eating solid food again. He's the player on Pittsburgh that Wilson broke his jaw. Huh. You're impacting people's lives at this point, right?
Yep.
I just also find it interesting that both Cup finalist teams are now missing a key player for 20 games.
Vegas. Oh, that's a PED suspension, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is that? I can't remember.
I can't remember. Do you know? There's a guy from Washington.
Right at the top.
CS or the initials?
CS?
Schwartz or Schmalz?
I don't know. You got a laptop.
My God, dude.
Wow.
Pan.
Poor. It's after midnight.
Listen.
Schmidt?
Nate Schmidt!
Schmidt. That's it.
That's right. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, 20 games for PED or 20 games for...
A very minor amount, but who knows?
We see, herein lies a bit of a beef on my part. This could be what grinds my gears
from
this
tainted
week.
Tainted beef?
He's getting 20 games for failing a PED test.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Wilson, a chronic dangerous player, chronic repeat offender, gets 20 games and his is going to get appealed by the NHLPA, while Nate Schmidt's
automatic.
It's automatic and it's not subject to appeal.
Now,
that's what grinds my gears.
PDs can kill you, though.
Yes, but so can an elbow to the face.
Yeah. Well, hasn't happened yet. I don't know. There's no evidence of that. CD? No. Fake news.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I'm ecstatic that Tom Wilson got 20 games. Absolutely ecstatic. If only it continues like this, I will be in rapture. I will go beyond ecstatic to rapture. If it continues like this, if they continue to take people who are literally not, overuse the word literally, but literally dangerous and slap them with over $1 million in fines and 20 games, which will affect their team's performance, I will be very happy.
Yeah.
Very, very happy. I just hope it happens.
Don't hold your breath, but let's hope it happens.
No, because if I hold my breath, I'll turn blue.
Yep.
And then I'll be a Smurf. I would look bad as a Smurf. I'm working on it. Anything else?
We got a couple emails, right?
Yes.
We got to plow through.
We got to get through them because it's getting really late. Who wants to read the first one because I don't have them ready? What do you got?
Boingy. Or Senatorius Maximus?
Yeah, that one.
You want to read that one?
Maximus. Sure, I made a mistake choosing it. That's fine. Hi, call-ups. It's your longtime friend, Senatorius Maximus, chiming in. Canuck, it was great to see you on our lunch when you were down here in the Big T and a couple months ago. or a couple months ago. Let's do that again next time you're in town. Thanks for posting the social media roundtable. I tried to listen to it with interest. I really did. I tried. But after about 15 minutes, I realized that I wasn't listening to a word that Pierre Dorion was saying. All I could hear was a little voice in my head saying, when you have an owner who undercuts and undermines everything by refusing to spend money, why does any of this matter? A new assistant GM? Oh, I forgot about that. Who cares? Scouting? So he can draft another set of great players and then lose them to the open market? Analytics? Again, why does it matter when all the decisions are payroll decisions? I didn't even get to Amy Diesel or Janice Nicholson. I just didn't see the point. I mean, no disrespect to them at all, but that's just how dispirited I feel these days. And I'm not the only Sens fan who does. So, what am I left with? Do I do what many Chicago fans did back in the days of old man Wirtz and give up on the team until there's a change at the top? Maybe. My 20 years plus of fandom are hanging by a thread. Sigh. Senatoris Maximus. Signing off for now.
Yeah. This is the sentiment you hear a lot.
Yep. And it's from our listener base, which is pretty...
Yep.
Devoted.
That's a good word for it. Yeah. To which I have not really...
So what I'm saying is donate to the show. Any money that you would have spent on the Sens this year...
Wow.
Instead, just...
Yeah, Cardinal... There'll be enough for Cardinal to get a new laptop at that rate.
You've needed a new laptop for like 3 years
now. I know.
Now.
I know. I am still living on a tablet. It's all right. At least for now.
You want me to read the next one?
Sure.
From Steven?
Sure.
Dear Sens Call-Ups, what's your take on the Anthem debacle against the Habs? I, for one, was happy to see an apology, if for no other reason that the Sens have had a lot to say sorry for and has been proven difficult for this group. Them acknowledging this so quickly is a good thing, regards Steven. So for context, it was the preseason game versus the Habs.
Yeah, versus Montreal.
Montreal. And the anthem singer sang the O Canada anthem in all English, didn't do the bilingual version.
Yep.
Right?
And it's because they put up the...
They loaded their the singer's teleprompter with English-only words.
It's all Maurel Bélanger's fault, anyway.
Maurel Bélanger?
Yeah, because he changed the lyrics to the anthem.
The late MP for Ottawa Vanier?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was his legacy.
Well, he changed it to in all of us command, but yeah, he didn't change the English-French part of it.
Right. But I think what happened was that because of the change, and people, I keep forgetting about it myself.
Yep.
I think the singer was following with the words to not screw up.
Yes.
Not realizing that it has now only been in English and she didn't switch to French.
Well, you're rather nervous in a situation like that. I wouldn't fault the anthem singer for that.
Well,
I've been singing the anthem for 50 years and... Yeah, there we go.
To Steven.
Right. But have you been able to switch over?
Back and forth easily.
No, but with the new lyrics.
Actually, the new lyrics I find don't flow very well. They bother me.
Correct.
But then again, I still find I'm singing three generations of it ago.
We stand on guard, we stand on guard?
Yes.
Still doing that?
Yes.
I don't even know that one.
Exactly. Thank you for Canuck for showing my age. I'm okay with it, though, because it just means I'm still looking.
To Steven's point, it was nice to see that they just come out and apologize right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, they apologized. They owned it. They said, our fault, not the singer's fault.
What I will say is that it wasn't that the Ottawa Senators apologized. It's that this is a message from Nick. I can't remember his last name.
Rutowski,
thank you.
Rutowski, sorry.
COO.
A message from Nick Rutowski. No.
Oh.
No. All of this, they did the same thing with when Ray Emery passed away. It was a mess. And this is where the political piece comes in. In the time of a tragedy, they say the prime minister's comments on this situation, because it's all political. When Ray Emery died, all the other teams that he's played for said, Anaheim Mighty Ducks, or Ducks, condolence to Ray Emery. Ottawa Senators? Eugene Melnick's comments in regards to Ray Emery. In this case, Nick Rutkowski's apology about the English-only anthem. The Ottawa, what you should be doing...
Brand it for where it's coming from.
Not the Ottawa person. Senators, as an organization, would like to apologize for running the English-only file. It was a technical error on our side. She carried forward. We will not do that again.
True enough. I'll give you that one.
The Ottawa Senators are very saddened to hear about the tragic passing of Ray Emery. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family.
Which, if our listeners haven't heard about, he...
drowned.
He drowned in Hamilton Harbor.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because the water in Hamilton Harbor will kill you long before you drown in it.
Probably.
It is so polluted. But he was apparently having a good time on somebody's boat and they'd been drinking and partying all night. And he jumped off the stern at about 6 o'clock in the morning and never came back up.
Yeah.
That's tragic. Because he was, I want to know what... 34?
Yeah, he's younger than me.
Young guy. Tragic.
Yeah.
And I'm not making light of this at all.
Yeah, right.
Not at all.
But as... I don't want to know what Eugene Melnick thinks about Ray Emery.
I don't really want to know what Eugene...
want to know what Austin Matthews thinks about it.
You see, I will shorten that as I don't want to know what Eugene Melnick thinks. Period.
Correct. So again...
It's as simple as that.
It's a political way to write it.
Yeah. Should I read Chad's email?
Yep.
All right. This is from Texas Chad. Subject line, hola, from Texas. See, bilingual. Me, this guy. What is the link for donations to you guys? And will it work for me sending American cash?
Yes.
Pan,
send all the American cash.
Pan, you're the dollars guy. Technically, actually, it's Canuck who's the dollars guy, but that's all right.
I still need to audit that. It's been 7 years.
I feel that you guys will need lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of beer this year. I did not make that up. I read it as written.
Special thanks to Alex for the donation.
Love you, fellas. Chin up. Texas Jet. Yes. And I am remiss. I will take the hit on this one. Off the top of the show, I do try and thank people for their donations, and I am remiss this time that I did not thank Alex for his donation, and I do, because it means we can have beer, and Lord knows we're going to need some this year.
Or moonshine.
Or shine. Well, shine was my birthday present, and I'm glad you guys liked it, but I'm taking it home with me.
That's okay.
I will tweet out, actually, very shortly, a picture of my 740 milliliter Labatt 50 next to my bottle of moonshine.
And sparkling water.
Very
nice. And some sparkling water, which is a regular 355 can. Yeah. Because I thought that might be entertaining. Anything else?
Last thing I'll say.
Okay.
I think we should make a pact.
A pact?
Two packs?
This should be good.
Pierre Dorion and Nick Rutkowski have mentioned what they... think their timeline is on Erik Karlsson, which their first statement actually matches what Erik Karlsson said in the interview. To stop dwelling in it because it's just going to ruin the year, I think we should just kind of hopefully as much as we can focus on the hockey ahead of us.
I'm good with that.
As opposed to...
Unless they do something fiscally drastic again. Right, because we can't continue this, and just for my own friggin' mental health, we can't keep going. It's like, well, they traded Karlsson. Okay, they traded Karlsson for the sake of the show, for the sake of my friggin' sanity. We need to move on with. I don't think this team's going to make the playoffs.
Now, do you mean by fiscally drastic? Wow. Fiscally drastic, as in waiving Zach Smith?
Which, that was totally a money move.
Okay, so we'll talk about that next show, because Lord knows it's getting late.
Well, if the players are saying it's a money move, it's a fucking money move.
It's already 12:30.
So but again, so that has happened, right? So that has happened.
Yeah.
Let's move forward. The next money moves to be done are Matt Duchene and Mark Stone.
Yes, I agree.
There's nothing we can do with Mark Stone until January. I don't know why Matt Duchene would sign anything before that. So January 1st is the action point. I don't think they're going to win many games. I'm not going to be upset if they lose. I want to see the young guys progress. And that's what my focus is for the year.
As long as I'm entertained. As long as I find... I'm not going... Oh, no. When I say entertained, I can't listen to this anymore. or I can't watch this anymore. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, as I've said many times before, I'm usually listening to Dean and Gord rather than watching it on television because I'm usually in the middle of doing something else.
Yeah.
I work some really screwy hours, so I listen to the game while I'm working or driving home from work rather than being able to watch it. So, yeah.
And to be honest, we now have 1 point more than I actually expected them to get all season.
There you go. Point!
On pace for 81 points.
There we go.
82.
I'm not even going to do what grinds my gears. I can keep that until next week. Fine. Let's get out of here.
It's Eugene Melnick.
No, that's what grinds your gears. Quick housekeeping once again. Podcast at sensecollapse.com is the email address. The forums are at sensecollapse.com. I apologize. I was not in the forums for the game this evening. I should have been, and I wasn't. Thank you in advance to Homer, because I presume.
Yeah, I did.
You're doing this. You're doing the game threads again this year, and I appreciate that because I just don't have time to do that anymore because my life is totally screwed up. And our waiver wire, which is sponsored by Versature, thank you, is 1-844-SCU-SCSE. Wow.
Sends.
Sends.
1-844-SCU-SENDS. So that's 844-728-7367. You want to do the week to come, or should we just let it go?
Yeah, week to come, Saturday, Battle of Ontario, and Brady Tkachuk's...
Hopefully going to be back.
Hopefully going to be back. The last time I saw a client...
Son of a...
The last time I saw a player enter into the Battle of Ontario was Craig Anderson's first game when he shut them out, and he was amazing.
Hmm.
Here's a question for you listeners. Is Craig Anderson the best thing that's happened to the Ottawa Senators, being that he's the winningest goalie in franchise history? Or is he the worst thing that's happened in regards to the franchise, in regards to the fact of getting us out of that lottery pick that got us Zibanejad and continued to get us outstanding goaltending when the team probably wasn't that good? So, Saturday.
You can email your responses to podcast@sensecollapse.com, or you can give us a call on the waiver wire at 1-844-SCU-SENS.
Yeah, so it's that Saturday. Monday, which is an afternoon game, 1 p.m. in Boston. Wednesday, 7:30 at home, and hopefully we will be able to actually record after that and be more consistent like the Sens.
Alrighty.
Hopefully.
All right. That's enough for that for now. On behalf of Pan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal. Thank you very much for listening. It's really late at night. We are out of here.
Good night.
But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And it-